Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Indie Business Podcast. I'm your host, Donna Maria, and you have arrived at the one place where we empower you to enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way. Well, one of the most exciting things, I think, about being a small and independent business owner today, as well as a woman and a wife and a mom, is that I have lots of options. I'm excited about that, and actually, I had to create my own options because in the traditional work world, where many of you know I resided for several years as a corporate attorney before I started my own business, I really didn't see as many options, or the ones I did see really didn't seem like they will fulfill me, and I searched and searched and searched and was not able to find what I was looking for. So I created it myself, and I've made it up as I've gone along, as many of you, my dear listeners, have. And today, we are going to be talking about this endless number of choices that we have as women and as wives and as mothers and as friends and sisters and moms and all those things. We're going to be talking about those things with someone who is a prolific blogger and writer about them. Her name is Shannon Kelly. She is a columnist at the Santa Barbara Independent, a freelance writer and photographer, and a corporate consultant. Okay, talk about choices there. Her work has appeared in the Christian Science Monitor, Woman's Day Magazine, the Arizona Republic, and, of course, Santa Barbara Magazine, where she is living. And her essay, Something Worth Saving, from the 2008 anthology Submerged, Tales from the Basin, was nominated for a Pushcart Prize. She is the co-author, along with her mother, Barbara Kelly, of the newly released book, Undecided, How to Ditch the Endless Quest for Perfect and Find the Career and Life That's Right for You. Shannon Kelly, welcome to Indie Business Podcast.
Thanks so much. I'm happy to be here.
So, Shannon, tell us a little bit about your background and what led to you being so steeped in this issue.
Well, so my mom is a professor at Santa Clara University, and she's the co-author of the book, and she had noticed something in her students and her former students. She tends to keep in touch with a lot of her students, and it was just sort of this general kind of unhappiness and dissatisfaction, and you know, to her, it just seems so strange because these were young women who had more options than she could have ever imagined and, you know, got a great education, were living in cool cities, and just they seemed to be unhappy almost because of it. And so she wrote an op-ed about the subject, and that got picked up all over the place. And we were hiking one day and talking about it, and I was saying, you know, I think this is, you know, this is just really juicy. There's so much here. I think this is a book. And we went home that night and kind of brainstormed and, you know, within a couple of months had an agent who was helping us work on the proposal, and that's how it came to be.
Now, Shannon, I'm really intrigued by the title of this book. I know you had lots of options in terms of what you could name it, but tell me where the title Undecided came from. And, you know, it makes me... It's interesting. I got to tell you, it doesn't make me feel particularly empowered, but tell me where that title comes from.
Well, I think it comes from, you know, just this idea that women are at this point in time where we are told we have, you know, every option and that we can do everything and the world is our oyster. And, you know, the reality of the world does not exactly match up to these messages. And so it can leave us feeling a little, you know, just a little undecided, a little kind of unsure about what we've chosen for ourselves and what we've chosen to leave behind. And, you know, I don't think it's unempowering. I think the phenomenon has more to do with just kind of a collective stage in, you know, women's history, just where we are right now. And we're moving forward and we're, you know, we're optimists, and there's a lot of positive things to look at. But, you know, this is where we are right now.
Yes, yes. And, you know, I'm interested in some of the things your book discusses from the perspective of these women. And, you know, you really get in our heads. One of the things you talk about is analysis paralysis, and also the grass being greener. And are these two sort of themes that you and your mom uncovered as you talk to women who are living through this era that you're describing today?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I think that, and we also get into kind of the psychology of choice and decision making. And, that stuff is so fascinating. And there's study after study that just shows that the more options that you have or that you believe you have, the higher your standards and, the more likely you are to think that there's got to be something out there that's perfect for you. And, as we all know, perfect doesn't really exist. Mm-hmm. But when we're thinking that, everything is possible, of course we're going to, kind of logically, the next step is, that something's going to be perfect. So, yeah, we saw that with a lot of women that had, a lot of great things going on, but tended to focus on the one part of the equation that wasn't quite right, or, just kind of looking over their shoulders and wondering about what they were missing out on.
Shannon, what did you notice about women who overcame analysis paralysis or grass is greener syndrome, so to speak? The people who actually did make a decision and became crystal clear, created mm-hmm. that sort of clarity that they needed. What did you notice were distinctive qualities or distinctive actions that those people took so that they didn't get stuck in that place?
Mm-hmm. Well, a couple of things. One thing is that they kind of gave up on the shoulds. The things that maybe our parents say we should do or society has told us we should do or, our friends say we should do or just sort of these the culture at large says that we should want and really were able and willing to kind of let go of all that and make decisions based on what really felt right for them. And the other thing is the happiest people are the ones that have kind of given up on that idea of, having it all. And that sounds disempowering, but I think, in fact, it's the opposite. Because, the truth is that, to speak the most reductionist terms, we can't be in two places at once. So, if you want to have a full-throttle career, you are not also going to be a stay-at-home mom. Those things... you can have a job and a family, obviously, and you can have a great career in a family. But, if you want both of those things, there's going to be a really, a balancing act, and you're not going to be at home all of the time and at the office all of the time. So I think the happiest people are the ones that kind of, really can look at that and say, okay, I'm going to, recognize that every choice is a trade-off and be okay with that.
And, I have found, personally speaking, that every choice is a trade-off. I left my job 10 years ago to pursue a different sort of lifestyle, really. The business side of it sort of came second because I wanted to create a particular type of lifestyle for myself. I wasn't looking for perfection, and guess what? I didn't get it. But I was trying to find a particular lifestyle and then, wove career choices around that instead of sort of looking at the career that I wanted and then trying to figure out what kind of life I wanted after that. Is that a theme that you noticed as well among people who sort of were okay with it not being perfect and not achieving every single thing at one time?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely, I think so. And, kind of with what you're saying, it's kind of like you were doing that reevaluating of, okay, what do I want to put on top? And then you make the other pieces kind of fit. And that's how, you've kind of come to this place. Like, and one of the other things that I think is interesting about what you're saying is you had tried, the corporate life. You worked as a lawyer. And so you knew, one of the things, if you don't try things, you kind of wonder. And I think that's where regret comes from. And so I think it's really hard for today's women because we're kind of geared to be overachievers and, pleasers. And so we're kind of shy away from taking chances and trying things. But I think that's a really important part of, you know, being happy with your life is that, you know, you've tried things and you've, you know, maybe some things haven't fit so well, and so you kind of rule them out and you move on. But if you don't give yourself the freedom to try things, then I think you wonder.
I'm glad you mentioned that because, you know, it was 10 years ago when I made that decision. And 10 years ago, it's a long time ago, but then again, it's not a long time ago. During that particular time frame, I think just the 10 years in between have, it's actually been 11 now, have, you know, the landscape has changed so much. And when I came out of college, it was sort of expected that you would get a job. So I didn't really have all this sort of, ooh, you can be an entrepreneur, and then you can buy a .com, and then you can sell it. And, you know, I mean, all those things sort of were not where they are right now for women. And so in some respects, I had it a little bit easier because it was expected that I would get a job more so than not. I think today, as you're saying, it you know, just coming off the bat, there's millions of options that we can choose from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
So your book, you know, shares, you know, how, you know, where we are. I'm really interested in your take and your mom's take. Interesting, too. This is such a fascinating look from the perspective of two generations, your book is. And by the way, we're talking with Shannon Kelly, the co-author with her mother of Undecided, How to Ditch the Endless Quest for Perfect and Find the Career and Life That's Right for You. So when I want to talk about how to do that, I'm going to ask you what your recommendations are based on your in-depth research. But I want to ask you if you could share what your impressions are of how did we end up here? I mean, did we do this to ourselves? Is this society, you know, sort of trying to create this, you know, hodgepodge of craziness for us? How did we end up in this place, Shannon?
Well, I think, you know, I think, again, it's a stage, you know, it's like a growing pains is how we tend to refer to it. And, you know, I think it's a good thing. It's just, you know, so, okay, a generation ago, my mom and, you know, people around her age were kind of, you know, just coming out of the era when the message was, you know, you can be a teacher or a nurse or a secretary. And, you know, yeah, you may go to college, but your education is really just something to fall back on. And, you know, that wasn't satisfying. And so women fought to get access to all of these choices. But just because we have that now doesn't mean we have everything worked out. I mean, you know, the fact of the matter is most corporate jobs are kind of structured as though every employee was someone, you know, man or woman with a full-time wife at home to take care of business. You know, you're expected to be there from 8 to 5 at least and then be on call the rest of the time anyways. And, you know, nobody's, you know, then how do you manage your life in addition to that? So I think that, you know, everything's sort of in a time of transition. And I think that, you know, that's kind of where we're coming from. And, you know, the future is yet to unfold. And hopefully, you know, people are making changes, corporations are making changes to kind of recognize and adjust to this. But, you know, just because all of that's happening doesn't mean that we're there yet.
And you know, you're talking about sort of the options that we have and sort of how we got here. I want to give a little shout out to Melissa, who is joining us from New York. And Shannon, you know, just to give you some idea of what these options are, Melissa is a mom. She's working a full-time job, and she has started a business, which actually she started some time ago. But just last year, she made some decisions to, you know, incorporate and really, really go for it. And, you know, she had to make some trade-offs. And, you know, we want to congratulate people like that. And, Shannon, we also have you found this to be true? We also, as women, want to be able to support each other in these types of choices, because every choice is not going to be right for everyone. One of the things I have found, you know, there's books out there like Mommy Wars and other sorts of things that really do tend to be divisive. And I'm delighted to see what I think is a bit more of an evolution, and I'd like to know if you have noticed this as well, that we are becoming more accepting and more excited, really, about the options that we have in supporting and encouraging each other at whatever choice we make at these particular stages in our lives. Because we go through changes separate and apart from career all the time. Our lives are in constant transition as women.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that's so important, too. You know, I hate to see, kind of the us versus them mentality. And I think it does still exist in certain places, but I agree with you, and I think that we're moving beyond that. And I think it's so important because, you know, you do have to make your choices for yourself. And of course it's hard. And, you know, I think it plays into women's friendships as well. You know, you maybe are feeling not so sure about some of the choices that you've made, and then you see things kind of unfold, your friends taking a different path, and then you kind of interpret that as a statement about your choices, or, you know, you think that, you know, you can't be friends anymore because she's doing it differently than you. And I think that, you know, I think the more you talk about it, the kind of the healthier and the less inclined we are to kind of put ourselves in opposing camps.
I love that you said that. And I do enjoy meeting people who have made other choices. As women, we always have so much to offer each other. And I think we short-circuit that growth process sometimes inadvertently without knowing it until it's too late to fix it by not gathering together and making sure that we appreciate what is like about us as opposed to what is different. So let's talk a little bit about how to ditch this endless quest for perfect, Shannon. What are some of the things that you've seen some of the women who have been able to do that? What are some specific things they've done? What specific steps have you seen them take to overcome this and really create something that they enjoy?
Well, there's one woman, her name's Lauren in the book, and, you know, she was kind of this super achiever who had her hands in all sorts of pies, kind of a creative sort who was living in New York, writing plays, writing books, doing the freelance writerly thing, and, you know, also kind of really interested in the environment. And, you know, one of the books was written to benefit the victims of Hurricane Katrina. And so very, very interested in just all sorts of things and really, really unhappy and feeling pretty lost when we first started talking with her. And then throughout the time while we were writing the book, you know, we'd check in, and it was so great. By the end, she had, like, moved across the country and enrolled in an eco-psychology program, which she is just thrilled about. And one of the things that she said was that, you know, she had to kind of admit to herself that she was not the greatest freelance writer, that just wasn't a great fit for her, and kind of let the energy that she was funneling into all of these other things go. And once she did that, she said, you know, it just really felt like everything kind of fell into place. And so I think there's something to that of recognizing, you know, where you're kind of scattering yourself, your energy on things that are maybe, you know, not really making you that happy. And I think another thing is there's something we call in the book the iconic self. And it's kind of, our idea is that it's like the face of your great expectations. Like you're going to be the CEO, or you're going to be, you know, the fearless reporter, or you're going to be, you know, you have this image in your mind and you kind of make decisions to fit that image as opposed to, you know, what necessarily feels the most right for you. And I think that when you can kind of, you know, I think it's something we all do, but when you can recognize yourself doing it, and kind of take a step back and say, okay, wait, is this really what I want to be doing? I think that's, you know, pretty important as well.
You know, I think about your book and some of the comments that are made about the word perfect. And not only your book, but just how we, you know, so often you hear women say this, oh, you know, she was living this perfect life, and then suddenly trauma happened. It's kind of like, oh, yeah, was it perfect? I mean, as you said at the top of the show, there is really no such thing as perfect. Where does this, you know, and it's interesting, too, because I'm a mom, and I find myself, you know, when my daughter, she's in cheerleading, right? So she does these jumps and, you know, splits and all these twisty things. And, of course, when she does them, she wants my approval and wants me to say, great job. And, of course, I used to find myself saying, oh, God, that was so perfect. And then I would, like, stop and go, no, wait. It wasn't perfect. It was really, really good, though. And I'm trying to condition her and anyone who's listening, because I have a son, too, and I definitely want him to get this message as well, and so does my husband, that, you know, a quest for perfect is, I mean, there may come that time when you do that perfect jump and it's gorgeous and you win the first prize. You know, or, you know, I was hearing Billie Jean King talk yesterday about when the stars line up. This is her 50th Wimbledon, if you can believe that. When
wow.
the stars line up and you hit the perfect shot where every sinew in your body is perfectly aligned to, you know, hit that passing shot, and how it is perfect, but it's fleeting. It's
exactly.
gone in a moment, and in the long run, it doesn't really matter.
Mm-hmm.
I really want to indoctrinate my children with that kind of thought. And in the long term, I'd like your thoughts on whether you think I'm being persnickety or whether you think that's an important point to make sure that I hammer home.
Well, you know, I do think it's an important point. You know, I don't think you're gonna ruin your daughter's life if you say that was a perfect jump. But I love the point that you just made, quoting Billie Jean King. I think that's exactly right, you know. There can be, you know, a perfect moment, but it's going to be gone as soon as the moment's over.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you're – and when you're talking about the bigger things like life or, you know, your job or your relationship or whatever, and you're striving for it to be perfect, what happens is you wind up focusing on the negative. You know, you could have – you know, on say you're ranking it on 10, you know, 10 criteria, and if 9 of them are fine, you know, but one isn't, when you're thinking that things should be perfect, you're focusing on what's wrong rather than what's right. And that's, you know, that's just a bummer. It's a waste.
It really is. And thank you for saying that, because, you know, as a mom, I sort of don't know if I've done the right thing till it's too late to fix it. So it's comforting to hear you say that after all the research that you've done. Tell me what you think about when you hear people describe a woman as having it all.
As having it all. I think, you know, she's probably got a lot of great things going on, but I think having it all is kind of impossible, too. It kind of, you know, it goes back to what I was saying earlier about not being able to be in two places at once. And I think the other thing, I think it's been sort of like a really evil game of telephone gone really, really awry. But I think that message, you can have it all, you know, was meant to be, you know, nice and empowering. But the way it's gotten translated through the years is, okay, you should do it all, you know. And when we're trying to have everything, women in particular, you know, we wind up trying to do everything. And that's a recipe for craziness.
I'd like your thoughts on something that I've been thinking about a lot, especially since I read your book. I mean, the thoughts and the ideas that are in here, I have been thinking about, because, you know, I really went through such an interesting metamorphosis when I left my job, which was the same year I got married and the same year I started a family. So
wow.
All these things happened at one time. And one of the things that occurs to me, and I think I've written a little bit about this before, is I've said, you know, you can have it all, but only if you define what your all is.
Exactly. Exactly. I think you're hitting the nail on the head there, because, you know, so you have what's, you know, your career as you've sort of reimagined it and made it for yourself, and you have your marriage and you have your family. But so, you know, there are things that you don't have. You don't have, you know, the corporate job anymore. And
right.
So I think that's exactly right. And I think that that's the only way that having it all is possible. And it's a good thing to shoot for, but you've got to, you know, kind of take a look at everything that's on the menu and rule things out.
And Shannon, you know, if I could get just a smidge personal here, tell us at your stage in your life as a woman, and you're an author now, you have a popular blog, you're a writer in Santa Barbara, which is one of my favorite places on earth. I want to shout out to one of my members there in Santa Barbara, Kristen at the Grape Seed Company. I want to encourage you to take a look at her website. She has a fantastic website, Shannon, and a store as well, which you would absolutely love, you and your mom. But I'd love to know, you know, what's your all, Shannon? What do you see on the horizon for you and other people like you as you sort of, you know, start these new things, new and exciting things?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I love to write, and, I, you know, it is really exciting to have the book out. And I think, you know, for me, my relationship, my friendships, building a sense of community, and then doing work that's meaningful. Those are my priorities. And you know, so whatever I can do to kind of incorporate them and you know, shape my life around those things is you know what I'm after.
And have you noticed, you know, I think about the different generations and how, you know, we all, not even generations, because these days it's like, you know, a generation can be like 5 years when you
mm-hmm.
think, not really, but certainly in terms of the way the world is moving at such a more rapid clip, in large part because of technology. I mean, I think about the options I had in 2000 and the options that I would have today if I were, you know, the same person doing exactly the same job back then. And it is absolutely mind-boggling. But what are your words of wisdom as you look at the next generation? Talk to me for a minute about the women who are marching across the stage and turning their tassels right now in cities and towns across this country.
Mm-hmm. I would say, embrace failure. Failure is a great teacher if we will let it teach us, you know. I think, you know, it helps you see, you know, who you are, and it helps kind of define your path. And it's important, you know, don't be afraid of it. Don't be afraid to try things that you might fail at. And I would also say, you know, forget about the shoulds. The shoulds of society or your parents or your friends or, you know, whatever. Just, you know, don't try and, you know, when you're, I don't know, struggling with something, take a step back and see, you know, how much of your feelings are really, you know, words from some other place of what you should do or who you should be. And, you know, the work that we're all here to do is to kind of get to know ourselves and structure our lives in the way that's right for us and that's, you know, unique to us. And so, you know, that's an ongoing process. So there's no rush on that one.
It is an ongoing process. And, you know, I once heard someone say, don't should on me.
Yeah. Exactly.
Which I thought was a really interesting way to sort of describe what you're saying. We really do should on ourselves, actually.
We do.
Bad, bad, bad. Okay, and if that doesn't, you know, convince you that it's not a good thing.
Exactly.
Well, right. We're talking to Shannon Kelly, the author of Undecided, How to Ditch the Endless Quest for Perfect and Find the Career That's Right for You. Of course, you can get this book on Amazon. You can also visit undecidedthebook.wordpress.com. You can follow Shannon on Twitter at Shannon Kelly, K-E-L-L-E-Y. You can also follow her on Undecided Book on Twitter. And Shannon, you're speaking, you're doing readings. Tell us how we can get in touch with you or see you and your mom gather women together to talk about this important issue.
Sure. Well, yeah, I think the best way is to follow us on Twitter at Undecided Book. But tonight we have a reading at Modern Times Books in San Francisco at 7 o'clock, and we have a couple more coming up throughout the country.
And Shannon, is your list of events and book readings, can we find that in an events calendar? Is it PlanCast? Where do you post that?
That is on the blog, and we tweet about that stuff too. But yeah, the blog, undecidedthebook.wordpress.com.
Okay, good. So I'm going to make sure that I include a link. I wish I was in San Francisco this evening because I would love to be a part of that discussion. I know that those of you who are out there will love it as well. Shannon, thank you so much. Please thank your mom for joining you in writing this important book, Undecided, How to Ditch the Endless Quest for Perfect and Find the Career and Life That's Right for You. Shannon, it's been a pleasure to have you on Indie Podcast today. Have a great week, everyone. And tune in next week for our show when we'll be having another fantastic guest for you. I'll see you then. In the meantime, enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way.